Well, this morning I thought it would be good if we had a little recalibration for the new year, and I want to tell you that 2025 is going to be your best year ever, and I'm really truly suggesting that's the case. We think that that's true because the Bible makes it so, but here's the one condition. You have to let it happen, okay? So it only works if you let it happen, but if you let it happen, this is going to be the best year of your life right here, right now. So here's how we know that. We know it for three reasons. First of all, because you and the Lord are going to have beautiful times together. Now that in and of itself is true of every year that you follow the Lord. But the next two points today are unique to the year 2025. In 2025, you really are going to grow in Christ. And that's going to be extraordinary. That's going to make this your best year ever. And then you see the third idea there is that you're going to be nearer to home than you've ever been before. And that's very exciting too. So based on the scripture, if you allow it to be so, this is going to be your favorite year ever in all of your life. All right, so here we go. In 2025, you and the Lord are going to have beautiful times together, and you're going to look forward to these. These are going to be great. And here's what that sort of sounds like in the whole spectrum of human experience. So in the 8th Psalm, verse 3, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? Maybe these times when you're going to be out in nature, you're going to look up perhaps on a starry night, maybe something else, a mountain view, an ocean view, whatever. And you're just going to have these moments with God that are really precious. And you think, wow, you know, the God who did this also thinks about me. And that's going to be a great experience. That will happen to you. Psalm chapter 4, verse 4. This is an exhortation to stand in awe and commune with your own heart upon your bed. So you're going to have these times when you're lying in your bed in the year 2025. And it's just going to be kind of quiet. And you and the Lord are going to sort of connect. And when you do that, you're going to have such a good time. And that's going to happen in the year 2025. In the 16th Psalm. Here the psalmist says, David says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. There's just going to be this time here and another time there and a third time here when you just realize I'm with the Lord and life is great. And I think I'm probably like the happiest person in all of God's creation because I sense his presence. And it just is so grand. And so that's going to happen to you this year many times, probably, perhaps in church, perhaps in your own personal worship, perhaps when you're all alone by yourself in a room, maybe when you're holding a baby, maybe when you're holding a puppy, maybe when you are just sort of sitting quietly in your favorite chair with a cup of coffee. These are going to be your experiences, the presence of the Lord. Chapter 27, verse 4 of the Psalms says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that all the days of my life, I will behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. So this is in this world, before you go to heaven, you're going to see the beauty of the Lord. And of course, we wish that we could sense it all the time. And we don't always sense it. But we sometimes sense it. And in the year 2025, there'll be times when you behold the beauty of the Lord. And it's so great. In the 94th Psalm, verse 19, the psalmist says, in the multitude of my anxious thoughts within me, your comforts delight my soul. So I'm going to have these anxieties that pop up. And in the multitude of those anxious thoughts, because we all have more anxieties than we wish, right? And so in the multitude of these anxious thoughts that pop up, then in those times, the Lord is going to comfort us. And we're just going to enjoy all of that. One of our friends in Sunday school today, Maisa, said that sometimes the way she terms it, she asks the Lord for a hug and she honestly senses his presence and it cheers her heart. And that's going to happen to you in 2025. In Matthew chapter 17, we have the story of Jesus' transfiguration. And it was so wonderful. And Peter and James and John were there. And when Peter saw that, he said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let's make three shelters. Let's just stay on the mountaintop. And there will be mountaintop experiences for you this year. We don't always know when they're going to happen. They pop up on us and they come without us scheduling, orchestrating them. But they come and you're going to have mountaintop experiences. And when these happen, you're going to say, Lord, it's just so great. Can we just always live on the mountaintop? And no, you can't always do that. You have to go down and remember as soon as Jesus, Peter, James, and John went down to the bottom, this guy ran up to him and said, my son is demon possessed and you have to help him. Like, okay, back down we go with the demons. So, but you have to do that, and it's great to have the mountaintop experiences, and you will. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds. You know, guard your hearts and minds. And there are going to be these times when you think, the Lord is just near, and I know that the world is a bad place. I know that the world is on fire, but I don't care. Life is great. And that's just great. It's a peace of God that passes all understanding. And you'll experience that in 2025. James 4:8 says, God will draw near to you. If we draw near to God, God will draw near to us. And so you'll do that, right? In the year 2025, you'll draw near to the Lord many times. And as you draw near to the Lord will draw near to you. And it's going to be great. In Luke chapter 24, this is the two disciples on the road to Emmaus after Jesus' resurrection. And he comes alongside, begins to talk with them. And then at a certain time, he has to leave them. And when he leaves them, they look at one another and say, did not our hearts burn within us while he opened to us the scriptures? In 2025, there'll be these times when you're reading the Bible or listening to the Bible or listening to sermons. And you're going to think, wow, you know what? That's totally true. The Lord has ignited my heart with the truth of what I'm hearing or reading. And that's always beautiful when that happens. That'll happen to you in the year 2025, and you'll enjoy that. Luke 4:22 talks about Jesus in his hometown synagogue in Nazareth. You know, he was a Nazarene. He grew up in Nazareth. And he opened the Isaiah scroll and he says, the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel and to liberate the captives this day. This scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And it says that the people in his hometown synagogue who know him very, very well wondered, that is, they were amazed, astonished at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. Like he's just, you know, from our own home area. Why is it that when he speaks to us, we feel like our hearts are being tugged, like our hearts are on fire? Why is it that we feel this powerful thing happening when he speaks? And they were astonished. They didn't expect that would happen. But that's exactly what did happen. And once again, this year, there will be times when you are going to be in the scriptures or the Holy Spirit is going to be prompting your heart in certain matters. And you're going to say, wow, you know, I'm astonished. I sat here today to read the Bible or to listen to the Bible or to just be with the Lord in his presence. And I am now astonished at the way I feel. And you never know what's going to happen. The other day, I decided that I was going to pop on the Hallelujah chorus from Handel's Messiah, and nobody was home, so I turned the volume up really, really high. And I knew I wanted to hear the song. I just didn't know that it was going to make me cry. And it's like, oh, God's presence is great, and that's going to happen to you in the year 2025. Genesis 28:16, this is Jacob at Bethel with the vision of Jacob's ladder and the angels ascending and descending. And when Jacob, you know, woke up from his vision, he said, surely the Lord is in this place in Bethel. Surely the Lord is in this place. And I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how frightening this place is. But it's that good fear. It's the good fear that you never want to do without. It's the good fear, like when you're in, you know, the Grand Canyon. You think, ooh, you know, I have to be careful not to get too close or I'll fall off and get hurt or die. But it's good fear. I still want to go to the Grand Canyon. It's that good fear of Niagara Falls, right? I don't want to get too close, but I want to get pretty close. And I might take that Maid of the Mist boat out and get even closer. It's good fear. And that's what Jacob felt. Like, this is the presence of God. I didn't know he was here. This is a frightening place, but I love this place. And that's going to happen to you in the year 2025. And because of all of that, there are going to be some wonderful things that you actually do. So things you experience with the Lord and things the Lord is going to do with you. So something to feel and something to do, right? Here's something to do. Daniel 11:32. We have to love this, right? This is an end times context in the book of Daniel. And Daniel the prophet says that hard times are going to be coming to his people in a little while. Daniel lives in about, you know, the 500s. And the bad times that he's describing are going to come in the period of time between Malachi and Matthew, what we call the intertestamental period, in about 165. This really bad guy named Antiochus Epiphanes is going to hurt the Jewish people, and he's going to torment them, cause all kinds of trouble. But Daniel says, when that happens, when that guy comes in 165 BC, when that guy comes, the people who know their God will be strong and do exploits. Exploits are feats. And those who understand among the people shall instruct many. As you walk with the Lord, because, you know your God, as you walk with the Lord, you're going to do some feats. You're going to do some exploits in the year 2025. And they might not be so noticeable to everybody else, but they're more noticeable in the spirit world, in the invisible world. And when the evil one comes to knock you down a notch or two, you're going to be strong. And you're not going to be knocked down. You're going to stand for the Lord, and you're going to stand well, and you're going to make the Lord very proud of you. That's what you're going to do in the year 2025. And you might be an example to many others besides. So this year in 2025, because you're walking with the Lord and you've come to know a thing or two about the Lord, you're going to be strong and you're going to do some wonderful things, perhaps visible, but certainly invisible. You will be the ones who do exploits. And then John 15:16. This is what's going to happen if you follow the Lord. Jesus says, "You have not chosen me," to his disciples, "but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit so that your fruit should remain." So what you're going to do this year is you're going to bring forth fruit. As you walk with the Lord, you're going to be productive. Your personality is going to improve because the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience. And you're just going to be that as you walk with the Lord. That's just going to be in your life, and that's going to be so great. So your personality is going to be different. And because your personality is improved, you're going to have more influence on other people who look to you. And they're going to say, "Wow, I didn't always like to be around that person so much before, but I like to be around that person now. And also, that person sort of impacts me. That person didn't impact me before, but that person impacts me now. And now I think I'm going to give God another look because of what I saw in that person's life." And so you are going to bring forth fruit because you're following the Lord. These are all things that I'm absolutely sure are going to happen in the year 2025. Experiencing the Lord, that's always such a joy, right? So Marilyn Meeberg is talking about a time when she met with the Lord in the most unusual way at the most unusual time. So as she tells this story, she was getting medical treatments because she was very, very sick and her hair was falling out. She felt terrible most of the time, and she was feeling terrible on this particular day. She came home, she collapsed in her living room, turned the TV on, and there was an infomercial. The infomercial was on some kind of a dietary supplement or something like that. And so she's watching this infomercial, and they have this little video about how the immune system works in the body and showing how, you know, when bad things happen, the little white blood cells do such and such a thing. And as she's watching that, she didn't mean to get all spiritual, you know, and meet with the Lord. But as she's watching that, the thought occurs to her that the body is just amazing. It's just remarkable. And that usually the immune system works like this, you know, amazing machine. And God is so smart, and God is always smart, and he's always orchestrating things, even in my own body. And the next thing you know, she was feeling really close to God and so grateful to God for how he orchestrates affairs, even in her life. And the next thing you know, she's praising the Lord because of an infomercial. So she says, "I would understand if you said to me, 'Are you kidding, Marilyn? You mean to say that an infomercial spoke to you about God?' And I'm embarrassed to say that's exactly what happened. In 2025, that's going to happen to you in the most odd times, you're suddenly going to be brought face to face with the realities of God, and it's going to move your heart and impact you, and you would have had no idea that that's what was going to happen, but that is indeed what will happen. I know you can't read this, but I'm going to read it to you, so you'll be okay. This is Donald Miller. He's in a crisis of faith. He's thinking, you know, so much of what I do is fake and phony, and I just need to go and get my head screwed on straight with the Lord. And so he decided to take a vacation and, you know, take a sabbatical, a time out, and figure out life. So here's what he says. A week into our American tour, we found ourselves at the bottom of the Grand Canyon. The canyon is more spectacular from the rim than from the river. He went all the way down to the river. He says, once in it, everything looks like Utah. As my friend and I fell asleep by the river, however, I had a cherished moment with God. I simply began to pray and talk to God the way a child might talk to his father. Beneath the billion stars and beside the river, I called out to God softly, hello? The stars were quiet. I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry I got so confused about you, got so fake. I hope it's not too late anymore. I don't really know who I am, who you are, or what faith looks like. But if you want to talk, I'm here now. I could feel you convicting me when I was a kid, and I feel like you're trying to get through to me, but I feel like you're somebody far away. Nothing from the stars. But as I lay there talking to God, being real with him, I began to feel a bit of serenity. It felt like I was apologizing to an old friend, someone with whom there had been a sort of bitterness, and the friend was saying it was okay. It felt like I was starting over or just getting started. That is the thing about giving yourself to God. Some people get really emotional about it, and some people don't feel much of anything except the peace they have after making an important decision. I felt a lot of peace. There's something quite beautiful about the Grand Canyon at night. There's something beautiful about a billion stars held steady by a God who knows what he's doing. They hang there, the stars, like notes on a page of music, freeform verse, silent mysteries swirling in the blue. And as I lay there, it occurred to me that God is up there somewhere. Of course, I'd always known he was, but this time I felt it. I realized it. The way a person realizes that they are hungry or thirsty, the knowledge of God seeped out of my brain and into my heart. That's going to happen to you in the year 2025. You're going to enjoy those experiences with God, and I think that this year is going to be a great year for you. But of course, these experiences are probably true of you every year, so that by itself is not enough to make me say that this is going to be the best ever year for you. But I have two more reasons to say that. And that's, first of all, in yellow font here, because you really will grow in Christ this year. You really will. It's not really a question. I mean, you have to let it happen, right? But if you want this to happen, if you want to let it happen, it's definitely going to happen. And I'm quite sure of that, and I'm going to show you why you can be sure of that too. In 1 Peter 2:2, we see that it is God's wish for you to grow. It is his wish. So how do we know? Well, as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word so that you may grow. So the Lord wants you to grow. And in Ephesians 4:11, notice how this, you know, growth idea comes up in multiple ways. So the Lord Jesus gave gifted individuals to the church. In verse 12, for the edifying of the body of Christ, edifying means building up. That's the same as growth, right? To build up, to grow. For the growth of the body of Christ. Verse 13, till we all come unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The measure, you know, how tall are we supposed to be? Stature is tall. To grow tall, as tall as we're supposed to be in Christ. In verse 14, so that we should not from now on be any longer children tossed back and forth and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the deception of men and cunning craftiness by which they lie in ambush to deceive. We're not going to be children anymore, tossed around. We have some sturdiness. It's what the Lord wants. In verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, we'll grow up. See, grow. It's what the Lord wants. We'll grow up into him in all things, who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and combined by that which every joint supplies, according to the energetic working in the measure of every part, makes increase. See, growth, increase, makes increase in the body unto the edifying. Once again, building up, growth, edifying of itself in love. So it is the Lord's will that we grow in 2025. in John chapter 15, verse 3, every branch that bears fruit, the Lord God prunes it so that it might bring forth more fruit. So you're supposed to grow. The Lord wants you to grow. And so in 2025, if you allow it to happen, you shall grow. In 2 Peter 1, 5, and giving all diligence, you know, pay attention to this. Giving all diligence, add, like you're going to grow. You had this before, but we're going to add this on top of it. That's growth. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Virtue is everything that's good. Don't just believe, also be good. Add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge, you're going to get smarter. And to knowledge, discipline, you're going to discipline yourself to do things that you don't want to do on impulse, but you will do them upon further review because you've thought about it. And to knowledge, discipline, to discipline, patience. And to patience, godliness. Godliness, just doing anything that pleases God. And then to godliness, we're going to add in verse 7, brotherly kindness. That's another way of saying love. We're just going to be more loving. We're going to add that. And we'll do all of this so that we will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to add that stuff to our lives this year. We're going to become, you know, an addition. There's going to be value plus to our lives. In Romans 5, 2, it says, we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we're really happy about the ending, you know, rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So, you know, what makes us happy? Oh, well, the end of the story makes us happy. The hope that we have, the confidence that we have in a happy ending in our future. And so we just love that. And so we rejoice in that. But not only that, of course, we rejoice in the happy ending. Verse 3, but not only that, not just the happy ending, we also glory, that is, we're radiant about our tribulations. We're so glad that we're going to suffer this year in 2025. We're really radiant about that. And why would we be? Oh, well, because what we suffer, that tribulation, is going to work in us. And that's like growth. It's going to work things out in us that weren't worked out before, at least not as well as they shall be. So this tribulation, this hardship is going to work in us patience, and then patience is going to work in us experience, and experience is going to bring out in us hope, which again is right back to that happy ending that we started with, right? So we rejoice in hope of the glory of God, and not only that, we're actually pretty tickled about the sufferings because in the end, that even works out more hope, more faith in the Lord, and more trust in His excellence and beauty. And so James chapter 1, verse 2 says almost exactly the same thing. My brothers, count it all joy. Like, there's no downside. Count it all joy when you fall into hardships of various kinds. There is no downside. All joy. Like, well, there's, you know, that little matter of pain. Like, no, don't even think about it. It's all joy. Why would it be joy? Well, because the trying of your faith works patience. It's working in you. It's going to work out something in you that wasn't there before, at least to the same degree. And so it's going to work this out in you. And then after you have the patience is going to have its perfect work so that you are perfect and entire, lacking nothing. You're just going to be a better person because of what happens to you in 2025, including the hardships. So growth is what God wishes for. All of these texts are saying, oh yeah, the Lord wants to work in you to make you grow. And so that's what God wants. He wants you to grow in understanding. In 2025, if you'll follow the Lord, if you let this happen, you're going to be smarter than you were in 2024. And that's good. We know that the Lord wants this. He wants you to grow and understand because 2 Peter 3:18 says, grow in grace. Grace is just like kindness, but also all the kindnesses of God. So grow in every way, but also specifically and grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're going to be smarter. You're going to know more about God. You're going to feel more about God because He wants you to grow in knowledge. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you're going to see that you're going to grow in the amount of pleasure you can give God. This year, you're going to grow in the amount of pleasure you can give God. That's a really big deal. Like, hopefully, you are really pleasing to the Lord in 2024. But in 2025, you're going to be more pleasing to the Lord. This is going to be your best year ever. And we know that because the text says, furthermore, then, we appeal to you, brothers, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received from us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. You have already pleased God, but you're going to grow and please Him even more. You're going to abound more and more in pleasing God. And that's what God wants. And normally God gets what he wants. In 1 Thessalonians 4:9, you're going to see you're going to grow in love. If you'll follow Jesus, you're going to love people at this time next year. You're going to love people more than you love people today. That's true. That's going to happen. We know that's what God wants. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. But concerning brotherly love, that's love. Concerning brotherly love, you don't even need for me to write to you. For you yourselves are taught of God. You already know this. I don't even need to tell you. You yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do. In 2024, you did love one another. So, you know, God bless you for that. Well done. Indeed you do it. And to the brothers near us, we don't live in Macedonia, but the people around us. And then we appeal to you, brothers, that you increase more and more. So the Lord wants you to grow in love. And not only to the people who are near you, but people everywhere. You'll increase more and more. In Philippians 1:9, and this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more. More and more. So you already did love a lot of people. You loved well in 2024. But if you walk with the Lord, you're going to love people even more. 1 year from now, you're going to say, that's true. I do love people more than I did last year. And you'll see that's what the Lord wants for you. That's growth in love. This is growth in faith. So in 2 Thessalonians 1:3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brothers, as it is appropriate, because your faith grows exceedingly. So faith grows. 12 months from now, you're going to have more faith than you have today. That's what the Lord wants. He wants you to grow in faith. And if you let it happen, that's exactly what's going to happen. And so we grow in faith. We're going to see in Philippians 2:13 that this is what the Lord wants, growth, and it shall indeed happen. It will actually happen if we let it happen. It's going to happen. Philippians 2:13, it is God who works in you. He works in you. He draws you both to wish and to do of his good pleasure. So the Lord in the year 2025 is just going to be pulling you. He's going to be drawing you to make you wish to do better than you've ever done before. And not only wish to do it, but actually to execute it, both to wish and to do of his good pleasure. And he's going to make this happen. So if you'll let it happen, he's going to work in you so that it shall happen. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able to bear, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. The Lord isn't going to leave you stranded. He wants you to grow. He's going to give you the ability to grow, and you'll be able to walk away from temptations because he's going to give you an exit, and you will be better at this time next year than you are today. 2 Corinthians 3:5. Not that we are sufficient. We're not saying, oh yeah, well, we definitely have the ability to make ourselves better in the year 2025. Not at all. We're saying that the Lord is going to work in us to make it so. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as though it originates of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of Christ, who has made us able. So that's why this growth is actually going to happen if we let it happen. He's working in us. Colossians 1:29, I also labor, says the Apostle Paul, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. So the reason we grow is not because we're so special, but because the Lord wants us to grow, and he's working mightily in us to make that possible, feasible, actual. Again, in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If he wants me to grow, I shall grow because he wishes it and gives me the strength to do it. So I can. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. If the Lord wants me to grow, then his strength will be sufficient for me to grow. He will give me the ability to grow. It will happen if I cooperate with him. Let it happen. John 15:5. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. So if we follow the Lord, we will bring forth more fruit. In Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. You know, I'm no great shakes, but I'm just going to follow the Lord, and he'll give me the ability to meet my spiritual warfare with excellence. In 1 Corinthians 15:10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. It's like, yeah, I worked really hard and I accomplished a lot of stuff. But it wasn't actually even me that did it. It was the Lord give me the ability the whole time. It's his grace in me that makes this work. So the Lord, you can see, wants you to grow. And you can see that he's working in you to make it so. So you should expect by faith that that's the way it's going to be. So we are able to say with confidence that 2025 will be the best year ever. If you'll walk with the Lord, if you'll let this happen, it'll be the best ever year for you in loving people. In the next few months, you're going to love people better than you've ever loved them before. That's true. And you're going to have more faith in the next few months than you've ever had before. That's true. That's the Lord wanting you to do it and then working in you to give you the ability to do it. And you're going to have more understanding. You're going to be smarter about God. You're just going to know God better a few months from now than you've ever known him before. That's true. And the Lord is going to work in you in such ways that 2025 will be your best year ever if you let this happen. That's true. But there's one more thing that we're very excited about that will make 2025 the best year ever. And it's because you'll be nearer home than ever before. And that is a big deal in Scripture. One of my favorite passages is in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning verse 13, talking about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, who were promised, you know, paradise, but they didn't get paradise while they were alive. The Lord is going to bring paradise to the Holy Land someday in the end times, but he hasn't done it yet. And Abraham and Isaac and Jacob had to die without actually seeing paradise. But they knew in their hearts that it was coming. And by the way, because we understand that they will be resurrected right before what we call the millennium, they'll get their paradise. It's going to happen. So anyway, but they died without seeing paradise. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. Pilgrims are travelers. They were strangers and travelers on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. They could have gone back to their home areas. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. It says, those who think this way confess that they're strangers. You know, I'm really not from around here. We're strangers and we're travelers on the earth. And that is so beautiful. 1 Peter 1, verse 17 talks about it, says travelers. And if you call on the Father who without respect of person judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning, that's traveling. Pass the time of your traveling here in fear. You're just traveling. Don't think of this as your permanent home. You're just camping here, you're traveling, you're lodging here, and then you move on. And so it is in this life. We're closer to paradise, to no more tears, than we've ever been before. And this year we're gonna be closer still. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 11. Dearly beloved, I urge you as strangers and travelers, abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul. We're just travelers, and here's the destination. This is where we're going. Revelation 7:17, and then leaning over into chapter 21 and verse 4. The Lamb who is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Chapter 21, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You're closer to that time of no more tears, no more crying, no more pain. You're closer to that time than you've ever been before. And this year, you'll be closer still as the year progresses. These are people that we lost this year, people that we had some connection with, some awareness of. At the 12 o'clock position, we have James Earl Jones. He's the voice of Darth Vader, and he's not with us anymore in this world. On the right of James Earl Jones, we have Bobby Allison. For all of you who are, you know, motorheads, you think, oh, race car driver. We always heard about Bobby Allison, and he left the world in 2024. As we come down, you see Carl Weathers, you know, Apollo Creed from the Rocky movies, and he's not with us anymore. He left this world. And then in the 6 o'clock position, we have Ann Whitfield, and you know her from the Christmas movie, White Christmas, and she was General Waverly's granddaughter in White Christmas, and, you know, delightful. And she died this year. And Donald Sutherland from Hunger Games, especially, he died this year. We're all going to die. You realize that, right? You should think about your death every day. There should never be a time when you're not aware that what has become of, you know, our friends in 2024 will also come to us very soon. And you should think about that every day, because that is what is coming in the not too distant future. We sing sometimes, and this song is mostly known because of Daniel Crowder, but it's actually from an old hymn from 1825 or 1816. And the lines that I love: "There is joy in the morning, O sinner, be still." Now, that part is Daniel Crowder. The next part: "Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal." I love that. I think that's one of the most important lines in Christian music. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. You're nearer to that today than you've ever been before. And as 2025 progresses, you're going to be nearer still. You don't have any sorrow that heaven can't heal. C.S. Lewis says, "We're never safe. The world is scary. This is a bad place. It's like Jurassic Park around here. We're never safe, but we have plenty of fun and some ecstasy. It's not hard to see why. Our Father refreshes us on the journey with some pleasant inns, but will not encourage us to mistake them for home. I urge you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust that war against the soul." You're just strangers. You're not from around here, and you're just passing through. You're travelers. So don't think that this was home. This isn't home. You're camping. And home is much, much better. For all of us who did not love school when we were children, you can appreciate this. Adoniram Judson, the great missionary, he says, "I'm not tired of my work. Neither am I tired of the world." You know, Jurassic Park has its moments. "Yet, when Christ calls me home, I shall go home with the gladness of a boy bounding away from his school." I distinctly remember that. The last day of school for summer vacation, that was the best day ever, better than Christmas. Yahoo! Henry Ward Beecher, he says, "Vacation morning is jubilee. Death is the Christian's vacation morning. School is out. It's time to go home." And that is nearer to us today than it's ever been before. And as 2025 progresses, it'll be nearer still. When Jesus was praying his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, he said, and this is just so dear, isn't it? He said, "Father, I wish that those also whom you have given me shall be with me where I am." Doesn't that mean something to you? Doesn't that strike you as being dear, that Jesus wants us to be with him where he is? Like, really, you want us to be with you? If you do, that's just so wonderful. Thank you for wanting to be with us. That's just so great. And when C.H. Spurgeon was talking about this, about when we die and we go to be with the Lord, he just seemed to capture the essence, I think, of what Jesus had in mind in his high priestly prayer. Spurgeon says, "Let us be with you where you are. By our death, the Lord will answer our prayers. One kiss on our lips from his dear mouth will kiss away our soul, and we shall be where we shall see his blessed face in all the splendor of his glory." What is death like to a Christian? It's like the Lord leaning over and kissing your lips and taking your breath away and moving you to heaven. That's death. And we're nearer to that than we've ever been before. But death is plan B. Plan A is that someday you're going to be sleeping, perhaps in your bed, and suddenly there's going to be this trumpet sound that is just so different than anything you've ever heard before. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you and all the people you love who have followed Jesus are going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and that is plan A. I'm counting on that one. But if we don't get that in 2025, then plan B is pretty good too. And you are going to be nearer to the place where there are no more tears, no sorrow, nor pain. You're going to be nearer to that as we go into 2025 than you've ever been before. So you see, I am right that 2025 is going to be your best year ever. Because you're going to have these wonderful experiences with the Lord, and you're going to do exploits for Him, and you're going to bring forth more fruit. And the Lord wants you to grow, and He's going to give you the ability to grow. And then every day, as you go through 2025, you're closer and closer to no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow. And then, who knows, perhaps today, that trumpet will sound, and that will be the best day of all.